Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 184. So today I'm really excited. This is part two of the interview we had with the lead economist, Birgit Hansel of the World Bank. So if you haven't listened to part one, that is episode number 183, please go and do that. You can listen to this one in isolation, obviously. There's still a lot you can learn, but I do sincerely suggest that you go back and listen to part one to get the full story of the Philippines economic update. So as mentioned in the introduction for episode 183, we are lucky enough to have Birgit Hansel, the lead economist of the World Bank, as a guest to discuss the content and results of the biannual Philippines economic update. Really interesting conversation we had with her in part one. This is part two, where we discuss inflation of the country. There's been huge growth rate in the Philippines for the last at least 5 years and projected forward for at least two more years. And with inflation, with high growth, you obviously get an inflationary component. And I think that maybe has been not been noticed the least in the outsourcing sector, where people are noticing certainly an inflationary effect on the salaries there. So we deep dive into that with Birgit. And we also go into employment generally. Did you know that there is very low official levels of unemployment in the Philippines, which might surprise some people? So we discuss all of this, super interesting conversation. But without further ado, we will get into this podcast. I just want to say, of course, if you want any of the information, if you want to download the Philippines economic update itself, then I recommend you go to our show notes for all of this information and more. You can find this information at outsourceaccelerator.com/184. Enjoy. And one very sort of commonly observed inflation in outsourcing specifically is the salaries of the BPO workers. And I suppose anecdotally, and certainly within, you know, the central outsourcing centres, we're seeing very high salary growth, and that's been sustained now over the last maybe 2, 3, 5 years. But it's kind of a tale, as we were talking before this podcast, but a tale of kind of two very contrasting pictures. There's still only, there's over 100 million people in the Philippines, and there's only still 1 million employed formally in the outsourcing sector. So, and there's relatively high levels of unemployment, but I assume that there aren't that many sufficiently qualified and educated people to slip into the outsourcing sector. So, and also within your reports, you've mentioned that in order for this economic growth to continue, they need human and capital investment, they need education, they need upskilling. So where do you see that, I suppose, balance and equilibrium for, specifically for the outsourcing sector, which is, I suppose I might put them as kind of mid-level educated, mid to upper skilled kind of functions?
Yes, it's a good question. And it's not an easy one in general, because of course the average numbers for unemployment, underemployment, or wage growth are averages, right? So if I look, for instance, at the average number, just to start with, unemployment is actually pretty low in the Philippines. It's around 5%, a little bit higher, 5.7 last year. By all accounts, we would call that full employment, because most of your people are employed, and you have only a small amount that maybe is looking for a job at the moment. That's the definition of unemployment. It's the answer to the question, did you look, or are you looking for more work, and did you work last month a certain amount or not? But on the other hand, in the Philippines, you have this interesting phenomena that you have very high underemployment, which is still around 18%. percent on average, which tells you that while you have maybe a lot of people that are not necessarily searching for a job, which is this unemployment definition, but you have a lot of people that answer to the next question, would you like to work more? Yes, which means you're underemployed, basically. Or you're giving a number of hours in other answers to questions that is not indicating that you're fully employed. So you work maybe 6 hours per week or three or something, which obviously means you're underemployed. And that gives you, again, this snapshot of this division between what you refer as the formal and the informal sector. A lot of this underemployment captures informally employed people that would like to actually have a more formal arrangement for their employment. But also the average is, as you rightly point out, not the same for each sector. So I hear the same from many colleagues that in certain sectors that actually look for higher skilled or specifically skilled people, that they have a much harder time to find perhaps affordable human resources. But it's also a question of geography in the Philippines. I'm sure many companies that are based in the metropolitan Manila area face a much harder time to find many recruits for their positions, because just in general, the unemployment level in Manila is much lower compared to the rest of the country. So I think it also points to a few opportunities that could be out there for the BPO sector or related services sector, that perhaps the market is quite saturated in this area and it's harder to find human resources here, but there are the big metropolitan centers in the Philippines where I think there could be perhaps still more opportunities to get employees that have a more reasonable wage expectation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so do you see that as a risk? Because I suppose within the formal economy then there is very high levels of employment, and that could potentially be the engine of growth for the country moving forward. Do you see, but having said that, I suppose to balance that, it is a very young population, isn't it? And there's high numbers coming out of universities every year. Where do you see the balance of risk and opportunity there?
I think the still growing population is definitely a great opportunity for the country. Compared to all other neighboring countries, it's the only country that still has that bone, and I would call it a bone, not a burden, because you still have many more people in the next few years entering the workforce that is young, that has still a long a period of work life in front of them, that are reasonably educated and that could, you know, if they're also trained further in their jobs and in lifelong learning systems, become extremely productive, not just for society, but most of all for the companies that are also ready to invest more in these people. So I think it is still a very good picture for the Philippines. But I agree with you, of course, especially in the services sector, the education or skills level are constantly, the demand for it is constantly increasing. So there is really a recognition that there have to be more investment in human capital. And human capital is very broad. It's not just formal education, it's not just health. It is also really about the cognitive skills, the skills of interacting, the social skills of people, which we found in our studies on what our firms are looking for, especially in the services sector, is much more social skills than pure technical engineering or whatever programming skills Because ultimately, that's what services sectors are about, right? You have to be able to connect to your client. You have to be able to understand their needs. You have to be responsive. You have to, you know, understand where they're coming from and what their goals are. So I think that is an area where we see that the formal education system is perhaps still in development and addressing all these skills that could be much more useful also going forward and in the future for a society that is young and mainly based in terms of employment in the services sector.
Fantastic. And just one final question because we have to go, but I, from the position I'm in, you know, I see, and I want your opinion on this, whether there's an inherent advantage that the Philippines has from its development as a largely English-speaking country, and it's relatively anglicized in terms of the cultural alignment because of, you know, things that happened 500 years ago with the Spanish invading. And there's, you know, for better or worse, had a lot of cultural alignment. They are, in some sort of statistics, it's said that they're the largest English-speaking country in the world. Do you see these as inherent advantages when we're moving over more towards a borderless online working environment and there's potential for the Philippines to upskill and adopt these roles, and the cultural alignment and the language advantage are significant enough to give them potentially a step up ahead of many of the other developing countries in the same boat?
Yes, I think, Derek, you really hit the point. It's not just about English speaking. It's clear. It is really a lot of familiarity with the cultural aspects of the countries that your language is also associated with.
I would just like to inform you that IMF will be calling me any minute from now.
Okay, 1 minute.
No, that's right. So, yeah, just going from...
So, exactly. If somebody calls you, right, from where you call in a call center in the Philippines and it's originating, for instance, in the U.S., and, you know, you just start your small talk, how is everything, and you can... The person feels if you can relate to it, right, and if you can understand the environment, it happens. And that is a crucial advantage for the Philippines that it should not lose. Because that
and it's
is
something that can't easily be taught, or you can't teach that in university.
I mean it ranges, as you say, from very simple issues that you have similar brands here that you can refer to in your conversation and people understand automatically what you mean if you have a conversation with the client, but also to bigger issues, how society functions, right? How what institutions you have and how similar they are to other countries. So I think that's a really important point and advantage that you can have here in the Philippines. And I think it's going to be very interesting how this is evolving too, because the Philippines is, of course, part of a region that also develops its own identity and institutions. So I think forward-looking, I see also this combination of the language and familiarity with the institutional environment as a key asset that should be preserved for the country. And actually, I hear from some colleagues that are working at the local level in the regions that they're actually a bit concerned that perhaps English is not anymore such a key part of society, and ultimately that would be not good in terms of the comparative advantage that the Philippines has now. So again, investment in these language skills, which was really fostered in the past decades, is a really important priority for not just the education system, but generally for society.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? I hope, because as background, the government has deprioritized the learning of English, but I hope there's enough momentum there now, and the kids are now being raised really on a diet of YouTube and NBA basketball, and that hopefully there's enough momentum there, that World the Cup. Language and World Cup, of course. So very timely, very timely. But anyway, thank you so much, and I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I wish you well.
Very well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and good luck to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Birgit Hensel, the lead economist of the World Bank. If you want any information about Birgit or the World Bank, or specifically the Philippines Economic Update report, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/184. You can get all of the download links there. You can download the report from there. And I'm sure if you haven't listened to part one yet, please go and do that, which is at episode 183. Thank you for listening. See you next time.